you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Fuck, it's always something, bro.
Oh, I guess we started the show. Your wife got rear-ended?
Yeah, yeah, by a teenage girl on her phone. She actually hit another car, and then that car got pushed into my wife's car. So.
Okay, so fortunately, by the time it hit you, the impact had been kind of reduced.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So the rental car company was finally. So, you know, there's all these strikes and people, you know, I know that it was going on in the movie industry a little bit, but now it's, you know, there's a big strike happening in the like car manufacturers.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been going on for a while, I think.
Yeah. So this happened a little, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, and they couldn't find a bumper anywhere to fix her car. So she'd been driving around with a messed up bumper. Well, they found one somewhere and like had to pay double for it just to get it because the dealership wouldn't give it up. So. Now we're getting a rental car and doing that whole song and dance.
Well, at least she's not hurt. At least
I
saw a girl recently and she'd done the same thing. I pulled over. She'd run right into the back of someone. I assume she was on her phone and she was so shook up. But again, main thing, she wasn't hurt because just round the corner, on the freeway by my house last week, there was a Lamborghini driving. Guy was going stupid fast, smashed into the back of a car. The driver was fine. The guy in the passenger seat flew through the windscreen. He's dead, of course. Yeah. Oh, man. You know. That's a great way to start the show. Yeah. Happy days, everyone.
Yeah.
How are you, Anthony? Feeling better?
Yeah, man. I was toasted. Just a long week. Wednesday to Sunday in New York City. It's not like I was partying the whole time.
Bro, I was in Brazil before that as well.
Yeah, you're crazy. But I just felt like, well, I kind of screwed myself at the very beginning. As soon as I got there, I went and did the aerial thing, you know, met Steve-O and like had a lot of fun. Well, then Wednesday night, I was like, man, I don't got anything until later on in the podcast on Thursday. Like, I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to lay here. I stayed in my hotel room. I just hung out. I was watching stupid TV, flipping on my phone. Like, it was like 3 a.m. And I was like, man, I can't wait. I'm going to sleep in so late. And then like, 8 o'clock in the morning, my phone's blowing up. I got people knocking on the door. I was like, what in the fuck is happening? And it was like my management team. I forgot I had to do Barstool at like 9 a.m. on Thursday morning. Yeah. So I just screwed my whole weekend after that. Cause then it was Barstool to an interview to then the podcast. Then I had a dinner and then Friday. It was a mess.
Tell me about it. No. And you didn't miss it anything much anyway. Monday show, everybody, if you're back here today, thank you for being here. I could hardly string a sentence together. Anthony and Brian afterwards, sorry, Hamilton and Brian afterwards, they were like, oh, no, you were fine. You couldn't really tell. And I'm like, really? I feel like you could because I could not think. But today I'm rested. I'm dieting. I got a sauna arrived at the house. I got the cold plunge. I got the sauna. I'm doing Pelotons. I'm lifting.
Oh, speaking of dieting, you know that, did you see that water fast thing that Dana posted on Twitter and Instagram?
I'm going to 3 days.
Yeah. I'm going to start it on Sunday. I'm going to give it a shot. You know,
I was talking to, who was it? Oh, Chito Vera at the airport Sunday. I was flying home and I sat down at this restaurant and who walks in? Chito. So we sit down, we're talking to each other and I'm like, oh, dude, I've pigged out while I've been here and blah, 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 blah. As you do, it's hard when you're on the road, right? Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to do a 3-day water fast as soon as I get back to cleanse my system. And he was talking about all the health benefits, how it breaks down cancerous cells first, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, it's good for weight loss, but there's tons of other health benefits. And I was like, 72 hours, man. that's a long time to go without food. He's like, Mike, you can do it. He said, I know you're strong-minded and strong-willed. You can do it. And I'm like, I can. If I had to, if I was in the middle of a desert, if I was lost in a forest somewhere, you know what I mean? But when I've got a fridge right there, 72 hours, I'm like, do me some scrambled egg, do me something low carb, do me something keto. I don't know if I could do 72 hours. I'm going to start with 24. I'm going to give it a shot. When are you going to do yours?
I'm going to start on Sunday. And we're going to do kind of the same way that Dana explained his, like after 24 hours, then you can do the beef broth or the bone broth twice a day. Mm. For the next 2 days. So I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to start Sunday morning. As soon as I wake up, that'll be the start of it. And then, so it's me, my wife, and then another really another really close couple of a friend of ours.
Yeah.
And so we're going to, and cause our two families are kind of, I don't obviously have a lot of family, and Michaela's grandpa just had a quadruple bypass. So they did their Thanksgiving like a week ago. So it's just none of us really have a lot of family. So we're doing them together. So then we'll end it on Wednesday and then just crush food on Thursday.
well, good luck.
And we'll see how I am on Monday.
My dad had a quintuplet heart bypass, which is 5.
Wow.
Yeah. And he still smokes like a chimney, still drinks like a fish. Do you know what I mean? I tell him all the time, Dad, drink some water. And I think I've said this. He was like, Mark, if you look up the first ingredient of whiskey, it's water. I'm like, yeah, I don't think it works like that, Dad. I'm looking at your skin. You look like, I just want to rub some lotion on you, man. You're cracking at the seams. Oh, dear. That old school generation, man, they don't care.
Different. So yeah, they're different.
You're going to be sitting there with your friends, a little come by our circle, starving your tits off, miserable as hell, thinking, why are we doing this, living off bone broth? Let me ask you about the bone broth. Where are you going to source the bone broth, Anthony?
I'm just going to, my wife bought the same electrolytes that Dana used, because he just showed the little container, and she just got the same bone broth that he got. It was like the cleanest bone broth that you can get, apparently. I'm just copying Dana.
Whoa, Rebecca, the cleanest bone broth. Did I talk about the bone broth in our house?
No.
And I apologize.
You got some good bone broth?
They're probably like, what is this episode? What are we talking about? Bone broth. Rebecca is obsessed now with making her own bone broth. We're talking about bone broth, Rebecca. Come here real quick. She stinks the house out. Because she drinks a lot of bone broth. She stinks the house out. She makes her own bone broth.
How do you make bone broth?
Well, you get...
Here we go.
Beef marrow bones. You can get like a variety of different bones. And basically you just like put them in like a crock pot, a slow cooker.
Yeah.
Cover it with water, and you can put some like onions and garlic and a few things like that. And you just boil it very, very slowly for about 2 days.
And then you put it in the fridge, and then all the fat separates on the top. Then you scrape the fat off.
The fat.
There it is.
It's delicious.
Homemade bone broth. There collagen through the roof. Goodness, vitamins, minerals, richness.
It's a commitment. It takes a while.
Does it? Okay. Well, I'll see if my wife is willing to do it. Otherwise, I'm going to have to buy it. But I'm doing a 72-hour.
You'll have beef bones galore. You've got a farm, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we got a lot of. But I don't ever do anything with them, because I'm like, what the fuck am I going
to
do?
Don't throw them away. Send them to us. Oh, she's buying the bones.
Yes. Send them.
Oh, I'll just ship them.
Like to buy them, like organic, grass fed, like. Mm-hmm. They're really expensive. So I just buy crappy ones from the supermarkets. I just got
a bunch of those just walking around out there. I just chop away.
Oh, kill a cow. No, I'm going to make bone broth.
No, but what is better? Like, it's just so wholesome. Like, I'm drinking the bones of of a cow.
Yeah,
like, that's I love that. Like, you're using, like, every part of it.
Right. You know, like, Liver King will just scrape that out and eat it.
That's what people do. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah,
Liver King just lives off liver, bro. There's no steroids. There is no steroids going on.
And then also I add turmeric to it as well. Oh, turmeric.
Okay. Turmeric. Come back later.
Okay.
We have a topic for
all right
you.
Well there
she's it. Gonna come Thank back you. And she's gonna give her opinion on a certain topic that's going around right now, but that's later. We just mentioned Peloton, you mentioned Dana, You mentioned 72-hour fast. You probably saw this. I saw Dana on Theo Von's podcast. Shout out Theo Von, massive MMA fan. I've been on his podcast a couple of times. Great guy, hilarious stand-up comedian. He had Dana on there, and he was talking about how he posted a picture of Trump on his personal social media, and a sponsor called. I don't know who it was. Maybe it's Bud Light. Maybe it's Peloton. I don't know. Told him to take that down. And Dana's response was hilarious. Brian, can we roll the tape or the tape, sir?
Was the band, was the people who wanted an ad out, Peloton. And yeah. Meanwhile, you have RFK.
So Peloton.
Yeah.
What do they sell? Fucking bikes? The stationary bikes? Yeah, dude. Peloton sells stationary bikes. And they got a problem with Robert fucking Kennedy. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck you, Peloton. What? Who the fuck are they?
Yeah, first of all.
Right? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Fucking Peloton calling, bitching about Robert Kennedy.
Oh, this is the clip of the people that called Theo's, right?
Yeah. Let's do the other one, Brian. And by the way, I like my Peloton bike. I was on it this morning. I don't do the classes, though, because I can't stand. Oh, guys, you're doing so great. You're also
you don't do
zen.
The classes?
Fuck the classes.
What do you do?
Just ride. It's free.
No, I got to do the classes on mine.
I don't do the classes. I can't deal with the condescending bullshit. Oh, my God. You're doing so great right now. You're totally crushing it. How do you know?
Oh, I need you to lie to me. I need you to lie to me.
Oh, I don't.
When we train together, we're going to train together, Mike, and you're going to help me. Because I have this plan before the end of my career, and you're a part of it. But
yes.
Yes, there's a, well, I'll tell you the plan real quick.
Tell me the plan.
There's a couple people, and I actually said this yesterday, there's a couple people that if I retire and end my career before having an opportunity to train with them and have them kind of like help me through a training camp, I'll be really disappointed. And you're one of them. But
oh, thank you.
When we do that, I need you to lie to me the whole time.
Oh, no, I will. Okay. Anthony, you're doing shit. You're so bad at jujitsu.
No, I need a little bit of better. I need a little bit of rah-rah.
I could do that so much better than you. That'll be the lie. I'm like, why do you want to train with me? I suck, bro. I'm useless. Brian, but that's very kind. Thank you very much. And I would love to train. You got to come down. All of you guys are going to come down to Orange County. Come stay at my house. We'll do some podcasts. We'll do some training, et cetera, et cetera. Brian.
Video for Trump, right? Mm-hmm. On my personal social media. And one of our big sponsors called and said, take that down. You know what I said? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You vote for whoever you want to vote for, and I'll vote for whoever I want to vote for. That's how this works. I don't even care who you're voting for. It's none of my fucking business. But fuck you.
Yeah.
Don't ever fucking call me and tell me who to vote for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel in fear these days, you know? A lot of people feel in fear that if they don't vote for certain people, they're going to lose their jobs. Yeah. I mean, it's Hollywood, for example.
Think about how fucking crazy that is.
It sounds insane. It sounds just like...
Well, it'll keep happening. Unless more people stand up for themselves and give them the fuck you response. Me too. This happens.
And you know what? He's absolutely right. He is absolutely, I can't vote anyway. So it doesn't matter. But in the UK, it's considered very rude and impolite to ask somebody who you're going to vote for. Is it that like that out here?
Yeah. Well, it used to be. It used to be more so than it is now. Now people will do a better job of starting to ask other questions that will in turn give them an indication of who you're voting for.
Try and decipher the code.
Yeah. 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 I when we were,
do you have any trans friends?
Yeah. Right. Do you hunt?
I do have trans friends. Yeah, I do. I have one trans friend, but, go on, carry on.
At the event on Saturday there, you know, obviously politics aside, when Donald Trump and Kid Rock walk out through the tunnel to like American Badass playing and the crowd's going crazy, it's a spectacle. Doesn't matter if you're on the left or the right or whatever. It's something to behold, like to watch. It's insane. There's 55 or 60 Secret Service guys everywhere. Like it's crazy, right? So I had this picture that I took from where I was sitting cage side. And then I'm probably, I don't know, 15 feet, 20 feet from Trump and Kid Rock. And I take a picture of them. and just the way the lights were coming, I just went snapped it really quick. And it turned out to be like probably one of the best pictures I've ever taken, like quality wise. I wanted to post it so bad, not because of anything else other than it just looks dope. And I'm like, kind of the same thing. Like, well,
you didn't want to post it.
I didn't post it because I know people are going to, they're not going to look at it for just the crazy spectacle that it is. And like just the photography factor of that picture, it just looks badass. They won't take it like that. It'd be like, oh, you fucking, you Trump tard, you know, like make America, you MAGA hat wearing piece of shit. Like, that's not even what I was going for. It's just an awesome picture. But I mean, that, I get it.
Just post it, Anthony. Just post it and fuck him. Do you know what I mean? Because I agree with Dana 100% there. And as you know, I have a lot of respect for Dana for what he's done with the company, for the way he's treated me. He's always treated me with respect and I have a great life. So you can do with that what you want. Call me a company man. But when it comes to these issues, he's absolutely goddamn right. Now, granted, Dana's in a very powerful position and he's got money, so he can tell big sponsors to go fuck themselves. But you should be able to do that anyway. I don't mean tell sponsors. I mean, tell people if they can't dictate to you your political beliefs. Do you know what I mean? That's not what living in a free world and free society is all about. You know, you're going to threaten to take away a lucrative sponsorship deal because your political beliefs don't align with yours or theirs don't align with yours. That's just absolutely ridiculous. And they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I had a long conversation yesterday about this exact subject. And there's a couple people that talk. And when they talk, they change the way that I think about things. And Dana's one of those people because he's a very, very wealthy man. And he has the ability to see the world in a way that I would never be able to see it, but chooses not to. He doesn't look at the world from the eyes of a wealthy man. He looks at it from the same view, or at least the same lens that I feel like I do. He just has the ability to say, go fuck yourself, to whoever he wants to. And sometimes I like the way he kind of said, if people don't start doing that more, then we're going to end up in this space where people were too afraid to do anything. And like, it made me sit there like, I should have posted that picture. Like, politics aside, I think it's just an awesome picture.
Post it. Post it right now, this second. Post it. Get the phone out, bro. We're going to hold we're holding a torch to your ass. You're going to post it right now. Listen, the reality is with modern day politics, certainly in America, because these days I've lived there for 12 years, and I keep up with things to a certain degree. It's madness on both sides, you know. The Democrat, the far left are out of the goddamn mind. The far right are out of the goddamn mind. Do you know what I mean? There's crazy on both sides, you know? So fucking, what do I know about politics? People haven't come here to listen to me talk about politics, but the fact that they're saying that, the fact that you yourself felt that you couldn't post what you perceive to be just a great photograph of an event, because it was a spectacle when he walked in. I was upstairs in the VIP area getting a cheeky margarita to take down to my seat. Just a cheeky one or two. I wasn't working the event. I was doing a post-fight show for TNT Sports. I thought by the time we get to the end of the event, that will have worn off. I did hear like some crazy uproar. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
And I posted it.
There we go.
I tagged you in it too.
Oh, nice, nice. People are like, why are you posting, tagging Bisping and Trump's? Brian, pull up the picture because I want to see it. And I'm sure everyone wants to see it. I want to see the photographic skill of the Lionheart Smith. I want to see what kind of filter you went for.
There's no filter.
Oh.
There's no filter
on Anthony Smith.
Brian,
let's have
a
look. Brian, can we find it? It's probably still uploading. But anyway.
Yeah, 1 second, guys.
Brian, I know I just asked you to do that.
No worries.
Give me your take on this, Brian, because I know you follow politics very closely and you know a lot about it. I mean, what do you think about this situation and where things are at and the judgment coming from people voting for certain political parties?
It's getting really terrifying. It's looking a lot like it's looking a lot like a lot of fascistic downfalls before. If you just follow the history of empires, we're on the downslope right now. That's kind of what it feels like. Like everybody's apathetic about everything. It's pretty bad.
Well, the world's in a crazy place, but unluckily or unfortunately, oh, there it is. I see. That's a cool picture.
That's a dope picture.
beliefs aside, this is a dope picture. Brian, sorry, Anthony.
Yeah.
I got a couple of critiques for you.
What happened?
Not about the picture. The picture's cool. I like it. You caught it. The lighting on Trump's face is amazing.
It's wild, right?
Where the shade ricochets down under the hat of Kid Rock. You had to fucking, number one, you put it on a story, not in your main feed.
Well, I have a picture on my, I have a post on my main feed that has to stay there.
Secondly, you gave yourself the insurance policy. Beliefs aside, this is a dope picture.
It is. Went,
I know, I'm pulling your leg. I'm teasing. But you're like, you covered yourself.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, a little bit. You got to cover yourself.
You've covered yourself now. You're like, look at the guys.
That's a dope picture, though.
It is. It is. It is. I wonder what Kid Rock and Donald Trump talk about. I wonder what they have in common.
I can't imagine a lot. I just can't imagine a lot.
I don't know much about Kid Rock or what he's into. He's a rock star, right? So
Kid Rock,
a lot of birds.
Kid Rock is just as gaudy as every story you've ever heard of Donald Trump. His mansion is bananas. He has like a gold elevator in his foyer because I have a gold elevator in my foyer.
Hell yeah.
Just look up the net worth of Kid Rock, because anyone that's got a gold elevator in a mansion, that's a lot of dough. Did he used to be with Pamela Anderson or someone like that? Who was he married to?
He did marry Pamela Anderson, I believe. And 150 million he's worth on the internet. I'm sure it's quite a bit more.
I'll be honest, 150 million, that's a tremendous amount of money. I thought it would have been more. When you're talking gold elevators, do you know what I'm saying?
That's different. That's a different world.
A replica of the White House. This is his house. It's much bigger than the actual White House.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Good for him.
Good for him.
All right. Today's episode is sponsored by Waterboy, the hydration powder, which is scientifically formulated to cut your hangover time in half. Look, listen, you might have heard recently, I said generally this stuff doesn't work, but Waterboy is different. You know why? I've put it to the test. I was in New York. I was in Brazil. I was dropping the drinks and I was taking the Waterboy and I felt fantastic. As I say, there's other hydration packs on the market, but nothing comes anywhere close to fighting those Sunday scares like Waterboy. With zero sugar and over three times the electrolytes of liquid IV, your hangover stands no chance. Unlike their competitors, Waterboy has added specific ingredients beyond just the hydration to help with nausea, anxiety, and fatigue. And we all know that hydration alone is not enough to stop that hangover and stop you feeling crap. By the way, it's not just for you. Waterboy's hangover recovery formula makes a thoughtful stocking stuffer or a fantastic gift for that loved one that loves a drink. Show them that you care about their well-being. By the way, they just do regular electrolyte powders as well, so check it out. It's delicious, it's nice, it's tasty, and if you have a beer, if you have some wine, you like a whiskey, it's going to be your friend. So right now, inside each stick, there is ginger for the nausea. There's also L-theanine to help calm your nerves and reduce anxiety. Plus, the best part about Waterboy, as I said, it tastes amazing. Their flavors include strawberry lemonade, lemon and lime, and blue raspberry. And you're actually going to want to drink this. It's gluten-free, caffeine-free, dairy-free, vegan, and it's made right here in the US of A. So right now, get yourself over to waterboy.com. Use the code Bisping. That's going to get you 15% off. That is waterboy.com. Use the code Bisping, 15% off. Get rid of the hangover. Stay hydrated, stay electrolyted by going to waterboy.com. Use the code Bisping, 15% off. Should we talk something we do know about, mixed martial arts?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. It's a shame you weren't here Monday because we went through all the madness last weekend, but there is some follow-up talking points and we can get your opinions on some stuff there as well, because obviously people want to hear from you. Henry Cejudo. Where is it? I'm just looking for it here in the notes. I'm looking for the exact quote. One secondo. What number is it, Herringbone? Where is it?
It's number four.
Number four. There it is. Henry Cejudo. Or this. He has been talking a little bit of shit about Tom Aspinall. He said, Tom Aspinall weeping interim title. He said, Cynical Henry Cejudo craps on emotional Tom Aspinall for weepy interim title win. This was the actual quote. Watching Tom Aspinall win the interim world title, he's already celebrated. It's an interim. Tom, save those tears for when you actually win the real belt. Sometimes when I see people like that, they just get too emotional after an interim belt. Yeah, you got a trophy, but they might as well dip that thing in either silver or bronze, because it's not the real thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of spoken like a true asshole, first of all. That and I like Cejudo, and usually he has some really good takes on things. I think he does a great job breaking down film and tape. But that's something that like only him or like DC would say. Guys that are like ultimate winners. And I mean that in a good way. Like, these guys have won everything.
I thought you were going to say ultimate dickheads. I'm like, DC's cool, man.
No, they're ultimate winners. Like, they've won world Olympic medals in wrestling, several medals, especially DC in the NCAA's wrestling. Medal after, I mean, think about how the amount of medals that DC has worn around his neck from wrestling is in the thousands, probably. And Cejudo is the exact same way. And then you start adding in UFC titles and the amount of times they defended. And so, of course, they're going to look down their nose at an interim title. But for guys that aren't born great, that are just like you and me and Tom and just regular people, that is a huge accomplishment. And from the way that Tom talks and where he came from, it pulls at my heartstrings, because it's very, like, it reminds me of where I came from. It's very small. It's very humble. Not a lot of people come out of where I came from doing great things or end up in positions like Tom Aspinall did. So I look up to Tom, like, I want to accomplish that. That's what I want. Interim, who gives a shit? That is a world title around his waist. So if he wants to cry about it, go fuck yourself. You'll like it. Like, that is a life achievement that 99.9% of the population walking this planet will never, ever touch. 99.9% of fighters won't even be in a position to contend for one. So, like, if he wants to cry, like, let the man cry. Who cares? That's a huge accomplishment. That's a golden ticket to a lot of things. That opens up a lot of doors. That the amount of people that inspires that are from where you guys are from, that's different. That's different.
Well, as you say, 99.9% of people, fighters specifically, aren't going to get there. And you're right, it does open a lot of doors. Now, I have often said interim titles, they're great. And it makes when the interim and the champion finally do fight, and we'll get to that no doubt in a minute, because I don't know if we will see that. I hope we do. We need to. That's the real fight. Not taken away from Stipe and John Jones. That's going to be a spectacle. But we have got to see the unification of whoever wins that fight. But as we know, they might both retire. But I always said it's just the number one contender matchup, but you will get pay-per-view points. That is the opening of the door to potentially unimaginable wealth for somebody like Tom, for real, genuine, working-class people. Do you know what I mean? The next, if he fights John Jones, he's going to get a percentage of the pay-per-view. He's going to get millions of dollars, right? Listen, I know when Colby Covington beat Rafael Dos Anjos and he came on and he just won, and me and him got into kind of a verbal sparring match, because he kind of attacked everyone on the desk. So I kind of, you know, and he talked about my eye and all the rest of it, you know. So we went back and forth. But, you know, I've got a lot of respect for Colby and a lot of respect for people that win an interim title. Yes, granted, I do see Cejudo's point. And by the way, that is a really good perspective, because you're right. That is what someone like a true winner would say, you know. Right. Olympic gold medalist. Two weight division champion. Yeah, of course, maybe when you look at it through that lens, you haven't competed. You're not stood right at the top of the mountain. There's still one more ledge to climb, I guess, if you look at it like that. But he still flew out to New York City, Madison Square Garden, on 2.5 weeks' notice, with a bad back, with one of the scariest people in all of the sport, and finished him in 69 seconds. The relief in a situation like that Do you know what I mean? The pressure you are feeling in a moment like that, and then for it to be done and to be over, of course, because that's the dream, Anthony.
Right. Well, I've cried after fights on the undercard just from the relief of just getting through it, whatever you're going through mentally, the stress, the had he had a 10-week training camp, going it went in there, fought and won, I don't know that his emotions would have been like that. But he talked about his back being bad, the short notice, the fear that he had of Pavlovich and his power and the things that he brought to the table and things we didn't know about. The travel alone, mm-hmm. but just by itself is different. He didn't even know if he was going to get a visa till right before he left. Like, can you imagine? Like, you get this call, but you're like, oh, I can't, I don't know if I can get a visa. So there's this pushback. And then like right before, like you're supposed to prepare the whole time as if you're leaving, but you don't actually know if you're going to go. And then right before you're supposed to go, you get a visa. That's stressful. So just that in itself is an accomplishment. And no one should try to make anybody else feel bad for how they feel about winning. And that, again, it's nothing against Cejudo and those kind of guys. They're just, they're different. They're different, and you got to look at it from a lens of just a regular person, because neither one of those guys have been normal their whole lives. They've been special their entire lives, and everyone that's around them has told them that.
That's a good perspective. You're absolutely right, Anthony. You nailed that one. I want to ask you about something you said a moment ago. You said that you've cried. I want to ask you, when was the last time you cried? Because I cried yesterday like a right little bitch. But and it was from relief. I'll tell you about it. But I was going to say, for Tom, what do you think about this? I did a video on this. I do believe Tom Aspinall has the ability to go down as the greatest heavyweight, maybe even potentially the GOAT that the sport has ever seen. Of course, he's got to go through John Jones if and when that time comes. Maybe it's Stipe Miocic. We don't know, right? That's got to happen. But if he does, I don't see anybody, and obviously I've said this many times, I don't see anyone stopping him. I don't see anyone coming close. He's got the power of a Francis Ngannou. He's got the skill of a Tyson Fury on the feet. He's got the wrestling of a high-level wrestler. He's got unbelievable jiu-jitsu. He's got the movement of a George St. Pierre and the fight IQ of probably a John Jones. I really don't see, granted, John Jones was able to take down Daniel Cormier. You know what I mean? So that's, we are dealing with something special. And again, it's like we're forgetting about Stipe. But Jones is the GOAT, right? But I think if he goes through John, and that's a big if, I think he could go down as one of the greatest champions we've ever seen.
If he goes through Jones, then absolutely, without a doubt, he will end up being the greatest of all time. Because if he can beat John, he can beat anybody. But if you take John and Stipe out of it, because there's a potential that those guys fight and they both retire and we never see them again. Take John Jones and Stipe out of it. I don't know that I can give you four guys that would beat Tom, that I would pick over them, that I would even give a chance to. All it takes is three title defenses to become the greatest of all time. There's not four guys I can see beating Tom. So I don't see a way he doesn't end up being the greatest heavyweight of all time. Now, greatest of all time, that's a long walk. That's a time thing. That's a duration.
I'm just saying there's a potential. Discussion.
It's a discussion, absolutely. He hasn't been in the UFC long enough. You know what I mean? He hasn't had the belt long enough yet. So once we get down that road, you know, we can start have that conversation. But as far as heavyweight goes, I don't know how he doesn't end up being the greatest heavyweight of all time.
Now, we don't want to repeat Monday's show because we talked a lot about that same stuff. And there is lots of stuff to talk about. Paul Craig, but also Tom will be there.
I can't wait.
MyTicket.co.uk. Don't speak over the plug, Anthony, for crying out loud. December 14th, December 16th, MyTicket.co.uk. Paul Craig and Tom Aspinall will be there. Get your fucking tickets. They're flying off the shelves. You were going to say.
Paul Craig, he took a shot at me yesterday.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Because we chit-chatted and talked in Singapore. We, you know, enjoyed each other's company. When I fought, he was cheering louder than anybody there, like, you know, like really rooting me on. And then they're like doing that name thing where they're like, you know, Habib, what do you think? You're like,
word, word. Association. Right.
They said Anthony Smith, and he said fight Dodger. I was like, what? What?
Paul Craig's off the show.
Yeah, we're pulling him off.
He's fired.
No, I'm gonna try to find him tomorrow.
Oh, here we go.
Nate Diaz.
Badass.
Colby Covington.
The bad guy.
John Jones.
The goat.
Daniel Cormier.
The guy underneath the goat.
Paddy Pimblett.
Jay for them between us.
Justin Gaethje.
The real bad mofo.
Amanda Nunes.
Female goat.
Ronda Rousey.
The old female goat.
Molly McCann.
She's the UK female.
Michael Bisping.
One-eyed legend.
Anthony Smith.
Fight Dodger.
Volkan.
Oh. Fight Dodger.
Hold on. As a true narcissist, what did he say about me? One-eyed.
One-eyed legend.
Legend.
I'll take it. Yeah. Fight Dodger. So has there ever been a discussion from the UFC between you and Paul Craig?
Yeah, if you want me to, I'll just be honest because now I feel like you took a shot at me. I have begged for that Paul Craig matchup. Begged. I practically got on both knees and begged Mick Maynard for it. And he always said, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. We can't do that to Paul. Every time. So, like, I don't, like, Mick Maynard's been protecting Paul Craig for me for like fucking 2 years. Oh my God. Every time I fought, I would go like, hey, I want to fight Paul Craig. And Mick would always be like, ah, stop it. Stop picking on Paul.
For fuck's sake, mate. We got some real Scottish beef.
No, it's not even beef.
It's fucking beef, mate.
It's not beef.
It's absolutely beef. You're talking in your ass.
And I like Paul Craig a lot. So I've never said that, but Mick Maynard has been protecting Paul Craig for me for a long time.
This is hilarious. Fuck it. We're going to get him on the show.
We got to. I don't know. I've never dodged a fight, especially from Paul Craig. I've begged for those.
I'm going to be one of those politicians now. You know what I mean? I got to tiptoe. I got to walk a fine line. I can't say anything to offend
him. I like Paul a lot. So I was like, come on.
He's a likable guy.
He's so likable. So likable.
Do you have a fight scheduled ish?
No. No, I'm
trying.
Do you
have rumbles of a fight?
No. We've been working really hard trying to get a fight. It's not working.
Let's say Paul Craig wins this weekend.
He's a middleweight.
Oh, of course he's. Yeah. I forgot about that. He's moved down. Of course. You're not even in the same weight class. So why is he talking beef, mate? Why is he talking shit?
I don't know.
Okay, now.
I don't know. We're going to have to drink about it on Saturday or something. I'm not doing this with him. We're not.
No.
I'm telling you, I hope he sees this. Paul, we're not fucking doing this. We're friends. We're in different weight classes. Don't be an ass. We're going to talk.
Be the bigger guy. Anthony Smith is being the bigger man right now.
Yeah, we're not. Because normally I'd be like, well, go fuck yourself. And I'd start this whole argument. I don't want to do that. I like Paul. I want to be your friend. I don't want to do this. We're not doing this.
This is good.
We're not
this
doing
this. This is maturity. Before you sit around and you come by our circle and do a 72-hour fast. You're going to come out the other end like some druid voodoo warrior.
Of this like Rashad.
Oh, God. Dreadlocks, high on magic mushrooms, and hugging everybody.
Yeah.
All right, today's episode is sponsored by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America, and it is the easiest way to play DFS, daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. So instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you just pick more or less than on a 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can play it on football. You can play it on fighting. And this weekend is Brendan Allen taking on Paul Craig. And here's a little example for you. In the main event, Brendan Allen, will he land 30.5 significant strikes, more or less? That's how simple this is to play. Also, another one on the main event. Will it go over or under 7.5 minutes? Amanda Ribas, will she land more or less than 70.5 strikes. You get the idea, you get the gist. So it's really that easy. Just make your pick, win the prizes, and off you pop. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions that lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday every Tuesday. Prize Picks discounts, select player projections up to 25%, and even provide more value. Prize Picks now offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this football or fighting season. So get yourself over to prizepicks.com/believe. Use the code believe for a first deposit match of up to $100. prizepicks.com/believe. Main event. Will it go over or under 7.5 minutes? Will Brendan Allen land more or less than 30.5 strikes? Win yourself some money. Have a bit of fun. Go to prizepicks.com/believe. Use the code believe and you're going to get an up to $100 bonus match.
Did I ever tell you the story of the first time I microdosed with Rashad?
No.
Anyways, he gave me this tea. It was like this microdosing mushroom tea. And he was like, yeah. I mean, you guys like beer and stuff, but you know, try this. All right. So we drink this tea and it was like the most warming, calm, relaxing sensation I'd ever had. But Rashad just starts talking about things that I don't understand because he's more in tune with his feelings and like the spirituality of the world better than I do. So I look over and because I'm not looking at him, I'm kind of just spacing off. And I look over at Rashad. He's backwards on the bed, like because I had two beds in my room and one of them wasn't used. And he's got his feet up against the wall like this together. And he's just opening and closing them. And he's got his hands out to the side. And he's just doing this with his hands and feet, like talking to me about the world. And I was like, and it was one of those moments where you like flash back to like when you're younger. And I remember like grinding on the regional scene, like seeing Rashad on pay-per-views and like, I want to be like that guy someday.
And now you're in a hotel room and he's wasted on magic mushrooms.
We're all both fucked up on mushrooms.
The KSI routine up against the wall doing jumping jacks and star jacks and talking about quasars, moons, lasers, parallel universes that the everything's connected and everything's talking to you and the animals know and the spirits know and God is out there and there's everything's alive and everything's connected. I've had the talks. He's very deep.
I love it. But I just, it was one of those, like, I don't know, those moments where you look back on your life, like, all the times watching him knock out Liddell and like all the craziness on the Ultimate Fighter. And like, I never thought I'd be all fucked up on mushrooms sitting here talking about charging crystals in the sun with this guy, but I'm glad I'm here.
I can't do the mushrooms, man. Someone gave someone to me recently and I was freaking out. I did not like it. You know, this microdose
talk. You don't like the, see, I don't mind the microdosing thing. I can't do the mushroom trip at all.
Ain't my vibe, bro. Ain't my vibe. Give me a bottle of Stella and a wee vodka. I'm all right. Let me see. So Jamal Hill, right?
Yeah.
We had him on the show last week. Mm-hmm. He was a little feisty last week.
Yeah. He was a little, I don't know. He was a little fired up, wasn't he?
He was fired up. He was a little feisty. Now, Alex Pereira got the job done. Just real quick, 30 seconds, Jiří Procházka's performance. What do you think?
I thought he looked stale. I thought he was not as sharp as we've seen him. He didn't move as fluidly as we've seen him. He just looked off, you know, without getting, you know, shitting on him on individual aspects. He just looked off. He didn't look himself.
So Alex got the job done, as we know, landed that right hand, dropped him. Jiří, like a G, to be honest, turned that immediately into a takedown attempt. So he was in the moment, and that's really, you know, high-level decision-making. Gets dropped, knows he's going down, grabs the legs, survival instinct, and also to try and get a takedown and take himself out of danger. So the brain was working. The elbows put him out momentarily. I was hoping to get Mark Goddard on today, but he didn't want to come on and talk about it and cause even more controversy, which I kind of understand because he's a well-respected person within the sport. It's happened, it's done, it's moved on. He doesn't want to drag it up. He knows he made the right decision. Jiří confirmed that as well. So I think that conversation is dead in the water. So the champion is Alex Pereira. It's unbelievable what he's achieved. 7 fights, beating 4 champions, 2-weight division champion. Now he's going to fight Jamal Hill. That's the fight that has to happen. Whether or not he calls out Izzy, that doesn't matter, right? Jamal Hill's there. He relinquished the belt. Alex Pereira's the champ. That's going to happen probably sometime next year. I think it lines up perfectly for UFC 300 because that's about 5 months away. I think Jamal will be good to go by then. He has come out and said that when he fights Alex Pereira, he's not going to shoot a takedown. He's not going to wrestle one little bit. He said, mark my words, when I say this, I do not plan on taking him down. I don't plan on wrestling him. I'm going to go in there. And where y'all think he's just this otherworldly guy because he did kickboxing and I didn't do kickboxing. This is a different sport. Kickboxing, MMA is MMA. I've been bred for MMA. And when I do fight him, I will do it standing and I will knock him out. Give me your thoughts on that.
I think it's a tough matchup for both guys because they're both crazy powerful. I think Alex is, if we're talking like fundamentals of striking, Alex is going to be the guy that looks like he's doing it correct. Jamal's tricky though, man. And I said this going into the Glover fight, he's hard to hit. He's deceivingly long. He's got really, he's hard to adjust to because he doesn't do things the way that we expect them to be done. If you throw a jab at me, I can think of two or three different ways that I can deal with it. I can slip to the inside. I can slip to the outside. I could parry it. I could, you know, I could draw and counter. There's a bunch of different things I could do. But what if that jab looks different? Now you start running into problems because now you have to figure it out first. Like you have to take a couple of them to figure out the timing, the speed, the angles. That's Jamal's entire striking game. It doesn't look right when it's in front of you. And I don't mean like correct. It just doesn't look like what we're used to seeing coming at us. He has his own style that I don't necessarily know he's ever been taught. I think it's just that's his instincts kicking in. That's just how he's figured out how to fight. He's got really good eyes. He's crazy, crazy accurate. He sees
athletic
everything
as well.
Crazy athletic, regardless of what you think he looks like or not looks like. He's crazy athletic. And he's got power that'll shut you off. And
I thought you were done.
Well, we've seen him do it time and time again. So we all know what Alex Pereira is great at. I think it's a really competitive matchup.
I agree with what you're saying. I really do, because I think when you look at the two on paper, of course, Alex Pereira is a more technical kickboxer. He just is. He's one of the greatest that we've ever seen in the sport, right? In the sport of kickboxing and then coming over to MMA. I do find Alex's style to be, it's not overly flashy. It's a lot of fundamentals. It's jabs, it's calf kicks, head kicks, 1-2, left hook, right hand. Now, of course, he can throw knees and stuff like that, but he's not doing crazy stuff. He's not doing showtime kicks. He's not doing spinning wheel kicks and stuff like that. He's not knocking people out the way Anderson Silva did. It's fundamentals. It's stuff that you would all learn and know after 6 months of kickboxing training, but he just does it at an extremely high level and delivers it with extreme power. Right. Jamal Hill isn't as slick. He's not as refined, but he certainly is as effective. You know, and that's essentially what you're getting at. And I was talking about this recently, and a great example, and I hate to bring myself into it. When I fought Dan Henderson at UFC 100, I was kickboxing since about 12 years old. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was a good kickboxer. I was a very skilled kickboxer. I was a way better kickboxer than Dan Henderson. That's just a fact. But I got knocked the fuck out cold. Mm-hmm. Francis Ngannou just went up and pushed Tyson Fury to the limit.
Right.
Tyson Fury is a way better boxer than Francis Ngannou. Just because someone has a better technical ability, if that person is willing to meet you head on, if that person can deliver with just as much, if not more power, if he's got the balls to walk you down, to get in your face, and they come better mentally prepared and in shape and ready to push the pace, nothing is guaranteed. So, and I also feel like Jamal is telling the truth there. Granted, a lot of times fighters might try and set these traps, like a Jan Blachowicz, remember? Mm-hmm. I have Polish power. I'm going to stand and test with
he shot Alex Pereira. 30 seconds.
Straight away, first thing he did, double leg takedown, okay? I don't think Jamal's going to do that. He doesn't have a wrestling background.
I was going to say, to be fair, I don't think he has the ability to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Not he doesn't have a wrestling background. He doesn't have a single submission victory. He's only been competing since 2017. Not being insulted, just pointing out the facts.
Yeah, it's not his game.
I think he's totally honest when he says that.
Well, he's not the type of guy that I mean, like you know, like we figured out again on when we had him on last week. He's not going to bullshit you. He's Jamal's. He's too cool for the games. You know what I mean? It's not. That's just not part of his life.
Right, Harrington, get yourself on the show. Timely manner, please. Don't mess around. Don't be naked.
Take your not hats naked. Off.
Definitely.
Why are your hats naked. Off? Where's the scratch?
Right there.
What the hell happened to your head?
Bro, his my cat.
What did you do to the cat?
Nothing, dude. I was asleep. I woke up with just a ton of dry blood on my head.
Cat just hates him. I get it.
The cat did that to you and you didn't wake up?
No. I slept right through it, dude. I sleep like the dead.
I thought you didn't drink anymore.
I don't drink, dude. I just
hey,
I,
speaking of cats, one time my wife's brother was passed out like drunk. He used to have this real long rat tail. Like, you know, the rat tail, little ponytail thing. Yeah, it's gross, whatever. he passed out drunk and the cat ate his rat tail off while he was passed out.
Just ate it?
The cat ate the rat tail off of his head. So like, he woke up to the rat tail like on the floor being chewed on by the cat.
Oh my god.
That's what you get. What's up?
I never thought we'd be discussing Billie Eilish on the podcast.
Ooh. Really? I mean, she's the voice of a generation.
Shut up. I don't listen to Billie Eilish. Okay. Do you listen to Billie Eilish, Anthony?
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Rebecca's going to join because we have a little segment that's going to involve her for this one. Well, you're not going to get a chat, babe.
No, can I hear?
Harrington, set the scene for us because Billie Eilish has been basically saying men are mean, women are awesome, et cetera, et cetera. And Rebecca, I was talking about it, and Rebecca was like, that's bullshit. So that's why she's here. Because if me and Anthony respond, we might get a bit of shiznit. But go ahead, Anthony, Harrington.
So Billie Eilish was in Variety this week, and she said, and I quote, being a woman is just such a war forever, especially being a young woman in the public eye. It's really unfair. Said, for instance, nobody ever says a thing about men's bodies. If you're muscular, cool. If you're not, cool. If you're real thin, cool. If you have a dad bod, cool. If you're pudgy, love it. Everybody's happy with it. You know why? Because girls are nice. We don't give an F because we see people for who they are.
Anthony, first of all, I'll give you the first take.
Okay. I was hoping Rebecca was going to take the first one to say this. Oh.
No. What do you think? What is your experience as a man in your mid-30s?
The people that have been the meanest to me have always been women in the history of ever. And I'm not just saying that because I'm sticking up for men. It's just the people that have hurt my feelings the most as I was growing up has always been a female. Always. And I, cause I feel like guys don't really care, especially guys with other guys. Like I do agree. Like if you're fat, if you're muscular, if you're thin, like guys don't really give a shit what you look like for the most part. It's usually
they'll let you know though. They'll let you know. Yeah. They'll call you a fat bastard.
Oh yeah. But in a nice way, you know, like every time I walk into the Apex in between fights, there's constantly a guy like tapping my belly, like, oh, you've been enjoying yourself, but it's like in a fun, playful way. Like, cause I don't feel like I'm being attacked for it for sure. But the first person to mention how I look on the show when I'm working is almost always a woman. Almost always a woman.
And you're right, because as men growing up, certainly as young men, you know, women have the ability to cut to the core because we don't, unless you're a gay man, we don't care what we look like to another man. So it doesn't affect us.
I don't think that's true.
I don't give a fuck if Anthony thinks I'm looking hot today.
Yeah, but you want to look good for everyone in general.
I want to look good because I feel good about myself in person. I feel more confident. So I want to feel good for me, you know, and look good. And it brings you confidence and your clothes fit better and all the rest of it. But I don't necessarily care if Anthony's going, wow.
Wow, Mike's look at really Mike's ass in those pants. Today,
look at it. He's got those tight English jeans on.
He's got those cheekbones popping now.
I'm down to 216 pounds, bro.
Ooh, you're going to be a 205er here pretty soon.
I'm fucking coming to you.
On the flip side of that, I was raised by all women, and I live with all women and girls. Girls and females are so mean to other women.
No, in my opinion, could not be more incorrect. I agree with you 100%, Anthony. Women
don't lean on your chin and talk at the same time. It's a bit weird.
Women are, oh my God, No, I was just going to say women are bitches, but I don't know. You are mean today.
Sorry.
she's women are horrible. We can be so mean and we will be scathing. We're not joking when we say it.
Yeah, no. But when we were talking this morning, when Harrington sent the notes and I saw that there, I was saying to you, look at this. She says that women don't care what a man's body looks like and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And what was your response? And you said, hold on a minute. Women certainly have some specific requirements that they're looking for. You're not going to like one of these, Anthony, because I said that. You're not going to like
this. No, I don't know. I might refrain from saying that one.
No.
However, if you're under 5'9", you're screwed. Mm-hmm. You're going to struggle. If you're balding, receding,
that's not okay with some women,
you know. Yeah. If you don't earn a lot of money, if you live with your parents, there are so many things. And they are very judgy when it comes to bodies, men's bodies too. Yeah. They are.
See, I feel like most guys that I know, especially growing up, wouldn't care if those pieces of shit wouldn't care if they had a job, live with their mom. Like, I don't think that guys would have cared about women nearly as much as women cared about men.
I mean, I don't think so. I haven't been single for a very long time, so I don't know what it's like out there in the single world these days and trying to date and find a man. Now. You know, so I don't know. Maybe it is different. Like, maybe they are more judgy these days. I don't know, but I don't think so.
Certainly not to Billie Eilish, which I find funny too. What does she know about being a normal person in society?
No. She knows nothing about the real world. Everyone hangs off her very word, you know, because she's rich and she's famous. And she's young. And she does, you know, she does, in my opinion, she does look good. So everyone, and even if she did put weight on, everybody like, oh my God, you look so great. She can do no wrong.
She's looking a bit better these days. I saw a picture of her recently. She had some tits popping out.
She's secretly kind of banging hot. Like when she'll do special photo shoots, like for Vogue or something, she had like a bathing suit. I'm like, God damn.
I know which one.
She's kind of hot.
She did look good, but I will say she's very young.
Yeah, she's young. She's very young. That's a hater, Rebecca. Oh, that's going to change. She's going to get older. She's going to put weight on.
Oh my God. No, I'm saying, I'm like, watch what you say, because she's frigging young as hell.
Oh, sorry.
Like early 20s, if that.
No, I know. But
I don't give a shit how, like, she looks young because she's really young. So watch what you say.
Yeah, well, no, we're not being too scared. We're just responding to the fact that, number one, as you said, and it's like Ricky Gervais said that when he was hosting the Oscars or the Golden Globes, whatever the hell it was. And it's like, you actors here know nothing about the real life. You spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So come up here, thank your God, thank your agent, and fuck off, because they don't know. And she, you know, God bless her, she probably means well. She's trying to empower women and say the nice thing and be, you know. But the reality is women are so judgy. I mean, when you look on social media these days, there's a trend. I don't know who it is. It's a TikToker or some Instagram guy. And he's always going up to women and says, how much does a man have to earn to take you out? Have you seen these kind of videos?
Yeah.
There was one the other day. She's like, it's going to be $1,000. And he's like, what, a month? And he's like, no. At least that per day. And he's like, that's 365 grand a year. And he's like, and she's like, yeah, it has to be about minimum for that to take care of me, to give me the kind of lifestyle that I want. Do you know what I mean? He's like, well, what do you bring to the table? Well, my good looks.
Yeah, there's no.
I think I saw that she turns around and shows her ass to the dude. Right?
Oh,
like,
really?
A girl in the she's like in orange. Yeah, she turns around and shows her ass and walks away.
I do think, and let's be honest, you know, men, I think generally would prefer a woman that looks good and takes care of themselves. So I think, let's be honest, you know, she's kind of got a point there, but so do women.
So do women.
Women don't want a fat slob. And if that's who you are, you know, because some people prefer a dad bod. Some people prefer someone who's in shape or athletic. But some people just prefer
muscles, which sticks really hard to achieve for men. Some people, that's what they like.
But you should love the person first, and if they change over years. But some, but what were you saying about?
I don't know what I was going to say, but I guarantee she was homeschooled. I haven't looked, but I guarantee she has not been to proper high school, because girls are nasty.
I just can't. I mean, she's been special and like talented her whole life. So I'm not trying to judge her for that. That's not even really her fault. It's just, I just don't know that you have like a full actual grasp on like what people deal with day to day and their regular, like how often is she going into a, like her workplace worried about how people feel about how she looks? You know, I can't imagine that it's very often. And she could have any guy that she wants for the most part, anywhere, especially anywhere around her age.
So would you say, Rebecca, that growing up, that all the women and all the girls that you knew mm-hmm. were so nice and kind about everybody, all the other girls, and they never had anything negative to say and nothing bitchy and no negative connotations?
No. I felt under pressure to be skinny as a teenager because of my friends, because of other girls, not because of what boys thought of me. It was always what the girls thought and what the girls say. Oh, yeah.
And as Anthony has four daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it starts, and that's the thing.
Growing up.
And it starts young. That's the crazy part. Like, mm-hmm. because I have young daughters, I see it already. And I grew up with, raised by all women's and have old, you know, a younger sister. Like, it's from my 6-year-old daughter till my 34-year-old sister. Like, it's happening all the way through. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I just saw that and I just felt the need. It was just an interesting conversation point. It's not that I necessarily want to rip on Billie Eilish. I don't know the girl. I've got no negative thoughts towards her whatsoever. I hear her name. I see her. I know she's a musician and et cetera, and she seems to be getting more and more press. But I was like, whoa, hold on a minute. That's a pretty sweeping statement. I think there's good and bad on both sides. Just like what we said.
We're all pieces of crap, men and women.
Hey, Mike, did you read what Brian put in the chat?
Thank you, darling.
Okay.
Oh, no. Hold on. Let's have a look.
Oh, no, this is for Rebecca. It's for Rebecca.
Come back. It said, Maggie and Patrick's decision to homeschool. Just fucking read it out. I'm blind, bro. I'm blind.
Maggie and Patrick's decision to homeschool their children was partly due to Billy's Tourette's syndrome, which causes her to have severe motor tics and are made worse by the stress of mathematics. So like your homeschool thing was like spot on.
1,000%. Yeah. She's got homeschooled written all over.
Stress of mathematics. A lot of people get stressed at mathematics.
So basically she can't get stressed at any point because it's going to make her tic worse. Maybe you should put her and make her like learn how to manage it. That's a way, right?
Yeah.
I think people need to be exposed to a bit more stress so they can toughen up to a certain mm-hmm. degree. I don't mean in a mm-hmm. nasty way. I don't mean, hey, you need to toughen up. But you got to understand the world's a vicious, hard, tough, cruel place. And you got to get prepared for that. You know,
you're going to end up having a kid that's got $100 million from singing, at some mm-hmm. point, they're going to get thrust into a tough position in life. You can try to put a balloon around them or bubble around them all you want. At some point, you're not going to be there the whole time to do that their whole lives.
That bubble's going to pop at some point. Yes. And
hers hasn't popped.
Your time has popped.
Your time's popped, babe.
Pop off. Get out of here. Jeez, going on about Billie Eilish. But nothing Eilish. Against Billie Eilish for all you Billie Eilish fans. Rebecca's a bitch. I'm joking. I got the Death Star. Well, let's talk about the newest sponsor, X-Bar. X-Bar is the new home gym that you can take with you on the road and you can target every single muscle in your body with this one piece of equipment. So the X-Bar, what it is, it's like an easy curl style bar that uses resistance bands instead of weights. So it's better for your body. You're not going to get injured as much. And it comes with resistance of up to 5 pounds. From 5 pounds, should I say, up to 480 pounds of muscle building resistance. It is a full gym in the palm of your hand. It's great for travel. You get the results of a 45-minute workout in just as little as 10 minutes. Better for your joints. It's got a lifetime warranty. It's got over 1,000 five-star reviews. So if you're on the road, you're at home, you can't afford a full gym, you can't afford a gym membership, you can't work out with a private instructor, listen. Get yourself an X-Bar. Simple as that. Over 1,000 five-star reviews and a lifetime warranty. Right now, go to xbar.com/pages/believe. Use the discount code BELIEVE for 15% off and free shipping. Trust me, this thing is great. You're going to love it. From 5 pounds to 480 pounds. That's a lot of pounds. xbar.com/pages/believe. The discount code is believe for 15% off and free shipping. Speaking of Paul Craig, your arch nemesis, yeah. The person that you're never going to talk to again. Or maybe
I'm going to force it. We're not doing this. I truly don't want to be. I'm going to try to find him tonight. Remember, I'm flying tonight? To Vegas. Yeah, I'm flying.
Oh, you're going to show?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have drama at the Apex.
No, I'm going to find him at the hotel.
When this airs, you guys are going to be on the news already.
It's going to be a dicey one. We're going to stir the pot even further because we're going to talk about his fight.
I'm
going
to put my hands on his shoulders to keep his arms down and say, "What are we doing, Paul?"
Caress his beard.
I'll kiss it if I have to.
You might want to wash your mouth after.
Yeah, because we know what he puts on that beard.
About the regimen. There's a lot of DNA in that beard.
I knew you were going to go there. Perfect.
Paul Craig is in action this weekend, though, taking on Brendan Allen. That is the main event on ESPN Plus this weekend. Paul Craig making his second fight at middleweight, of course, against Brendan Allen. Brendan Allen's been so impressive, and I feel like Brendan Allen kind of gets overlooked. I'm looking at his record here, 22-5. The two losses in the UFC, Sean Strickland, of course, and Chris Curtis. And I believe he took those ones on short notice as well. Yeah. Other than those, he's been perfect in the UFC, currently on a 5-5 win streak. Bruno Silva, Muniz, Christoph Jocko, Jacob Malkoon, Sam Alvey. Paul Craig, as we know, jiu-jitsu specialist. It's not the only win over Jamal Hill in the UFC, or it might be. I think it might be.
He's got the only win over Jamal Hill and the only win over Ankalaev.
4:59 of round three. You can never count him out. Little bit unpredictable, little bit uncharacteristic in terms of the style of fighting, as we said before, talking about the flows and the methodology and what to expect. You know what I mean? Likes to pull guard a lot, but he believes in his ability. Brendan Allen's very well-rounded, tremendous grappler. You've clearly done your study because you're a professional and you're the fight professor. How do you break this fight down?
I think...
I'm just going to drink from a Hall of Fame cup.
I love that. Obviously, Brendan Allen is going to be the better, more powerful striker. I don't think there's even really too much of an argument or a debate there. Now, in terms of the jiu-jitsu, technically, in terms of like positional awareness, the passing ability and things like that, I think that Brendan Allen is he has a wider array of skills as a grappler. I think in terms of finishing ability and the bottom game, Paul Craig is far ahead of Brendan Allen there. I think he's a better finisher. I think he's more dangerous in terms of just where you're at. He flows through transitions very well. He's willing to take a big shot to throw up a submission, which is uncharacteristic of a lot of grapplers. Mm. I think where the difference, I think Paul Craig can do enough to, especially with his size and length, I think he can do enough to neutralize the striking problem. It's Brendan Allen's going to look pretty doing it, but Paul Craig is fairly effective in what he does and tends to do a better job of staying in there, right? Like he kind of stays safe where he can. I think that positionally though, he's going to have a tough time with Brendan Allen. I think he defends submissions very well. He attacks submissions very well, but positionally he's really dominant. He's the better wrestler. And the one glaring hole in Paul Craig's game has always been his offensive wrestling. He just doesn't have the ability to flashback to Paul Craig Volkan Ozdemir. If you can't get someone to where your strength is and they're not willing to follow you down, he's going to find himself in a tough spot. Now, that's at 205 where he had a big size disadvantage, and now he's going to have a pretty good size advantage. So I think that some of those things are going to be a little different. But I think if the best of both guys show up, I do lean Brendan Allen.
I think if you pick with your head, Brendan Allen would seem like the obvious pick.
Right.
You know, I do think he has the grappling ability to probably not get caught. I agree with you 100% on the positional ability. He's the better wrestler. On the feet, he's an underrated striker as well, Brendan Allen. You know, he is very good. Of course, he had that stoppage, well, the two stoppages that we mentioned, but they were on short notice. He's flying high. He's on a 5-5 win streak. He's very committed. He's got a fantastic team around him, great coaches, trains at Killcliffe, some of the greatest guys down there. So a lot of big-time training sparring partners. But Paul Craig seems to have the intangibles. You know what I mean? Paul Craig's a man you can never underestimate. And he has a way of snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. As we said, Magomed Ankalaev, 1 second away. Now, you can't always rely on that. You know, relying on that is a dangerous way to approach a fight. But it also makes you extremely entertaining. Makes you entertaining. It makes you a fan favorite, and it makes you someone that you want to watch. And it also makes you someone that you have to respect. You know, Paul's by far the bigger man. He's the bigger man. He's the longer man. He's got those long legs. He's amazing at triangles. He's got 13 submissions. He's incredible at finding a submission when people don't think there's one there. You know what I mean? He sets them up. He snatches them. He's so quick like that.
He's so opportunistic.
Now against Andre Muniz, you know, he managed to take mount position. He got on top, finished him with nasty, nasty elbows. Paul has good sweeps as well. I do believe if you pick with your head, Brendan Allen would be the logical pick based upon what we've seen. But I'm just going to pick with my heart. I'm going to say Paul Craig. We're going to have him on the show on Monday. He's sitting in tails from the octagon. There's no way I'm going to do that. I'm not going to put that evil out there, Ricky Bobby. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to say Paul fucking Craig all day long, flying high from the UK, tails from the octagon too. Could you imagine the shit? He's talking shit.
Where do you get tickets to that?
MyTicket.co.uk.
There we go.
Or you just search tails from the octagon too.
I mean, if I pick with my hurt feelings, then I'm definitely going to pick Brendan Allen. But if I want Paul Craig to do well. I do. And my heart says, because I know Paul better, my heart says, I think Paul Craig can do well. My brain, if you just look at it on paper, my brain says Brendan Allen overall is a better fighter.
Yeah.
But the better fighter,
I know how committed Paul Craig is. I mean, he does these crazy strength and conditioning routines. He's very, very scientific in his approach. I'm sure Brendan Allen is as well.
He explained that to me in Singapore, how he likes numbers. He's like a numbers guy. And so he likes chasing things on like statistics and readings and measurements. And so he gets really fascinated with that and figuring out how his weight cut and he just breaks it all down scientifically, and that fascinates him. So I thought that was a cool conversation to have.
Mm. No, he is. He's very, very scientific in his approach, very dedicated. He's been out in Las Vegas now for a few weeks. And listen, everything we just said there, I'm sure applies to Brendan Allen as well. Yeah. I think whoever wins this, though, I think they're going to emerge. Do they have rankings? I'm sure both of them are ranked. Just look that up if you can, Brian.
Yeah, I think.
And just take a look at the odds as well, if you don't mind, because I will be interested in that. I would assume Brendan Allen's the favorite because I think people look at Paul Craig and just see, I'm not going to say a deficiency because it's like we said before, he's very effective with his striking, but it's not as pretty to look at. It's not as technical. It's not the kind of style that somebody would necessarily teach in a kickboxing class, but he does find a way of making it work for him. Yeah, plus 1,000 for Paul Craig. Wow.
To win by KO.
Oh, to win by KO. What are the overall odds?
Wow. To win by a decision was bigger. Jesus.
My word. My word. Yeah. Hamilton and Brian, we'll kick it to the panel. What do you guys think? What do you think? I'm going Paul Craig. I'm willing him on. I do think he has a way to win. I do think if he wins, it will be by stoppage, either submission or ground and pound. I think Brendan Allen, if I was coaching Brendan Allen, I'd say use all of that space in the octagon. Use that footwork. He's got slick footwork. He's got slick striking. He's got good wrestling. I think if Paul goes to his back, you got to be very controlled. Yeah.
Like
Jessica Andrade versus Mackenzie Dern. Anytime it hits the ground, say, I'm not playing that game. Yes, Brendan Allen can stop, probably on paper, all the submission attempts. But it's
why play that game?
Why play that game? Why play to his strengths? Harrington, what do you think? What's your pick?
I mean, I I don't know. Every single Brendan Allen fight seems to be about getting the guy to the ground. Every single Paul Craig fight seems to be about getting his opponent to the ground. I don't know. I like Paul Craig in that. If we're doing jiu-jitsu match in MMA, there's very few guys I'm taking over Paul Craig. You're one of them, Anthony.
Thank
you. Yeah.
Yeah, I just recently watched his fight against Jamahal Hill. I think it popped up on my feed this morning. And after watching that, I can't bet against him.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. We'll see what happens. I'm going to reach out. We'll try and get him on Monday's show. That'd be awesome. I'd love to hear you guys hash it out. Although it looks, by the sounds of it, you're going to do it at the Apex.
I'm telling you, I'm going to do it tonight at the hotel. I'm going to DM him on Instagram and ask him to meet me somewhere in the lobby.
Sliding in the DMs. Also, we've got Michael Morales, Jake Matthews. That'll be a good one. We've got the Battle of the Nice Guys, or as they call it, the least intimidating fighters in the UFC. Chase Hooper, Jordan Levitt. I agree.
I'm so excited for that fight.
Are you really?
I am. Yeah, I am.
Why? It's a great fight, but why are you so excited about that one?
I just feel like it's going to be a shit show. You know, like just one of those like, they're both, I like them both as people, you know, they're like fun to watch. They bring a different energy to, you know, kind of the fight world. That they're just different, you know, they bring a different type of vibe than we're used to. And so it's interesting. So I don't know. I just, they're both kind of grapplers. And so typically two grapplers, like especially young guys, it usually ends up being like a shit show striking affair where like you get two guys who don't really like striking, but are kind of forced to. And it's maybe not the most technical thing in the world, but they're just throwing bombs the whole time. I hope that's what we get into.
Yeah. No, it will be. You know, Jordan Levitt, and I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way. I think he's, if not married, in a long-term relationship and has children.
He is, yeah. I think he's married with kids.
I would have put money on him being gay. And I'm not trying to be insulted, but that's how he carries himself, doesn't he? He's a very... feminine, you know what I mean? Kind of a campy vibe, right?
He's different, yeah. He's different.
Yeah. No, but he owns it, you know. Like,
yeah,
the little twerks that he does and stuff, you know what I mean?
I was doing some research last night and I was just, you know, I pulled up his Instagram, was kind of going through it, and there's like this like almost like a TMZ kind of remake. And I was like, they ran up like, Mr. Levitt, Jordan, are you gonna twerk on Chase Hooper? And he was like, I'm not that kind of queen. I don't twerk on children.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? I think he plays up to it for effect. Oh, yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It's hilarious.
It's so funny. He just said, I'm but not he is that underrated. Kind of
you know, I mean, that knockout
was really good.
That knockout against Matt Wyman was really creative, rebounded from Paddy Pimblett, got a quick stoppage over Victor Martinez. You know what I mean? Man knows his shit. You know, he doesn't know his shit.
He can fight.
I just mentioned Paddy Pimblett there. Obviously, he's fighting Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson is training with David Goggins.
Yeah.
What do you think? We didn't talk about this on Monday, did we, boys? I don't think we did.
Yeah, we briefly talked about it. We pulled up the video. I'm throwing up.
Mm. Ah, we did. Okay, we won't spend too long on it. David Goggins, I think he's going to get the mind right over Tony Ferguson. But what do you think about all the long-distance stuff?
I'm a huge David Goggins fan. He's not one of those guys that when he speaks, I listen. You know, it makes me think about things in a different view. If Tony Ferguson had some mental toughness problems or conditioning problems or a pushing through darkness problem, I would say it was a great idea. But 4 weeks or 3 weeks from 3.5 weeks or whatever it is from a fight, Tony Ferguson is mentally tough. He's never had a conditioning issue in his entire career. And we've never seen him shy away from the darkness. So I don't know what Tony's gaining from that. I feel like if you're going to spend time and move in with someone to try to gain something different than you didn't have before, why wouldn't Tony Ferguson move in with like Dorian Price? Some guy to just immerse him into some striking or defensive stuff, or he's got great grappling. He's wrestling is good. The problems he's been having is in the striking affair. It's not because he's not tough enough. It's not because he's not conditioned enough. It's not because he's not mentally in the right place. It's he's having a tough time striking. So why not, like, I don't know, go live with someone who's a professional boxer, you know, go live with Andre Ward for a week and figure that out. Like, I feel like you're just making your strengths even stronger while potentially breaking down your 39-year-old body more than it needs to be too close to a fight, when you could be doing better things with that time, focusing on your weaknesses. But I love Tony, and I have a hard time saying anything bad about the guy. So if that's what he thinks he needs, then whatever, Tony gets what Tony gets.
I mean, the reality is, though, going into a fight, losing your last six, confidence is key for a fighter. You got to believe in yourself. As you said, he's always been mentally strong, you know, and I think he still will be. I think he'll still look at those matchups and go, listen, I was fighting the best guys. You know, I was fighting the best guys. I came up short, but I'm going to beat Paddy Pimblett. I'm going to put him in his place. I'm going to be the guy to end the win streak, to end the hype and all the rest of it. But deep down, when you lie on your pillow, when you rest that head at night and you lie and think about it, doubt creeps in.
Yeah, what are you really thinking?
It really does. And if anyone's going to help you with that, somebody like a David Goggins or some kind of inspirational guy will help.
I think Goggins is going to be in his corner.
Yeah, I mean, he was in the corner of John Jones. Seems to be permeating into the mixed martial arts world.
I would love. I wouldn't even mind. Like, I don't even care about having him in the corner, but having him in the locker room right before you walk out, that guy would have you getting ready. He would have you want to run through a wall.
The ultimate hype man. I guarantee Tony's tried to run through a wall. Do you know what I mean? He's that type of guy. I mean, some of the training stuff that he does, some of the videos, do you know what I mean? And this one in its own way is just as mental as some of the other ones. We've seen him break dancing. Some of the videos over the years are some of the training stuff, like especially after he just tore his ACL when he came back, like 3 months later, he was like jumping over blocks and doing this weird kind of training. Yeah. I mean, he's an original.
He is.
And we'll miss him when he's gone. Do you know what Tony Ferguson's a character? He's a badass. He's had some legendary performances. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you forget how much color guys like that bring to the sport of mixed martial arts. You know?
It's different when Tony fights on a card, too. Like, you can feel the different vibe on that night. It's just a little bit, the week is a little bit different. Question, though. Still early. I'm not going to hold you to it.
I'm talking, brother.
Okay.
No. That's what he says. I'm talking, brother.
I wasn't finished yet. Who wins that fight?
Don't put me on the spot like that. You're getting me to try and pick against Paul Craig. You're trying to get me to fucking pick against Paddy the Baddy. I mean, hold on. Just talking about when Tony walks out, when he plays that music. Yeah. Is it Afrika Bambaataa? It's like an old
school
hip hop with a robotic. It's brilliant. I love it. What a tune that is. Or as my buddy would say, that shit's a jam, man. But it is. It's cool as hell. I love that music. Yeah, it is special when Tony fights. And I don't think he'll be around much longer. Win or lose, he's not going to. He's 39 years old. Simple as that. I think Tony has more power on the feet. He did drop Michael Chandler. I think
Bobby Green.
And Bobby Green. Did he drop Bobby Green?
He did. Early. Right. Early, like first round.
I think jiu-jitsu. I think jiu-jitsu and wrestling. I think he can compete there. I think Paddy's faster on the feet.
Yeah.
I do think Paddy will come in less confident, even though he will say that he is to the public, to the media. I do think after being pushed to his limits and getting the backlash from the public and the fan base against Jared Gordon, I do think that might affect him a little bit. He's taken a year out. He had an injury. I think there's a lot of pressure on Paddy Pimblett, you know? I think there's a lot of pressure. There's probably more. Well, they're both under pressure, but maybe more pressure on Paddy because, you know, and listen, he's a great promoter. And he took the world by storm. He said, I was going to be the cash cow. And he was like super popular instantly. Got this huge deal with Barstool Sports, taking guys out. And then the Jared Gordon fight happens. It wasn't his fault. He got the decision. Could have handled it a little bit better, but we're not perfect. But I think he's in a tough spot because he needs to come out. And the reality is he needs to blow Tony out of the water. And certainly now with guys like Tom, and some of these new people that are coming through, your Hamzats, and all these big stars to stand out now.
He needs to stand out against Tony, and I don't think that's possible.
What's your thoughts?
I agree with everything you said. Absolutely everything. And I also agree that in order to get back anything that he lost in the last year, he has got to dominate Tony tremendously. And I don't think that he can. If Bob,
that's
we
not
just seen,
easy to do.
We just seen what Bobby Green did to Grant Dawson.
Yes.
That's a prospect, a future world champion in everyone else's eyes. Bobby Green went in there and walked right through him. And Tony.
Grant Dawson's a bad motherfucker.
And Bobby Green smoked him. And then rewind that to Bobby Green, Tony Ferguson. It's a pretty competitive fight for a lot of it. Now, Tony Ferguson takes shots a little bit better than most people do. But, I mean, it was a competitive fight for a lot of it. And Bobby Green was ahead the whole fight. But Tony was competing. And Tony was making it hard on him, was making him work for it. So, you know, I do kind of do comparisons. Like, what does Bobby Green do to Paddy Pimblett?
So, Paddy, I'm just looking up his record. 6 knockouts, 9 submissions. Mm-hmm. He knocked out Luigi Vendramini. Before that, had a knockout on Cage Warriors. But it's all been submissions pretty much. Obviously, the decision against Jared Gordon. Mm-hmm. So the knockout ability. Tony's a tough man to knock out.
He is.
Just because Michael Chandler did that recently.
And that was a nasty kick, though.
Nasty front kick.
Gaethje couldn't drop him.
Yeah.
I can't forget it. He never put him down.
Well, Gaethje, the referee stepped in.
It was a standing TKO.
Gaethje's got big power. Charles Oliveira couldn't finish him on the ground.
Yeah.
Beneil Dariush
couldn't submit him.
Didn't finish him on the ground.
Michael Beneil's got crazy power. Beneil's got crazy power in his hands that people don't talk about.
Diaz caught him in a triangle at the end of round 4 in a 5-round fight.
On short notice.
Was that short notice for Tony?
Yeah, because that was when Diaz was supposed to fight Khamzat.
Tony was already on the card, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't fighting.
He wasn't fighting 5 rounds.
He wasn't fighting 5 rounds, and he wasn't fighting. Who was he supposed to fight? I don't remember.
I forget.
I don't remember either.
But you're right. That's significant.
Yeah, then that's a lot of mess that happens in one day. It's like on Thursday, you're fighting one person. Then Friday morning, as you're cutting, you're fighting another.
They
fought at 170.
They fought at 170, but I never look at it as taking a short notice fight. But the 3 rounds to 5 rounds, that's a big change. Mm-hmm. And he went, you know, towards the end of round 4. So again, not making an excuse, but there's definitely
some color to it.
There's a big factor there. And then Bobby Green, all right, he's submitted by Bobby Green, who's not exactly a jiu-jitsu specialist. But look, as we said, what he just did to Grant Dawson. So, yeah, I mean, when you look at it like that and you break it down.
Yeah, it looks different.
The slide hasn't been quite, when you dig into it, because I've never done that. I've looked and gone, okay, he's been... He's lost 6 times in a row, but when you really dig deep and you look at it, yeah.
There's a lot of people that didn't go to decisions and were unable to be finished by Beneil and Charles. And he's always in there. He may not always be ahead, but he's always kind of in there.
Hey, Brian, can you just look up the odds on Paddy versus Tony Ferguson? That'd be interesting because I'll tell you what, if Tony's a big underdog, might be worth sticking a few bucks on that because.
Right.
Because he's a dog, man. He's got crazy. That old man strength.
235 plus 235 dog.
Yeah.
There's going to be some people making money on Tony.
There's going to be some people taking that bet for sure.
For sure.
Interesting. All right. Well, look, listen. Been going for a little bit here. We shall do some questions. If you have a question, send it in to bympod@gmail.com. The more creative, the more inventive, the more funnier, the more insightful, the more thought-provoking, the better.
And if you're listening on Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode comes out. And if you want to catch over 500 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com, use the promo code BYM, get a 7-day free trial, check out over 20 great shows on the network.
All right, so the first question we have here today is from a miss... Nina Carby. Sorry, I just got to trim it down just a little bit.
Let's go, Nina.
You know how these broads get.
Nina Drama?
Sweet.
Whoa. We can play the whole thing from Nina. I'm joking. Best play.
Get to the question. Just a nosy one for today. Tom held it together all through the interview. A little emotional, but kept it together. Comes out the cage, gives Bisbin a hug, starts crying. What did you say? Anyway, if this question gets through, I can ask you all the other millions of questions I want to ask you. Keep up the good work. Love the podcast. Shout out to my dad. Got me into the UFC about 20 years ago. Never looked back. See you soon.
Oh, thank you, Nina. And shout out to your father as well. And she sounds like, you know, she's from my neck at Woods. She sounds like she's from like there where I'm from. There's a lot of people where they're from, they talk like this. I've just lost it a bit because like I live in America now and that, and people don't understand me. So like, but when I go back, I do start talking like this, like Wellmore.
Does Rebecca notice when you do?
She fucking hates it.
We can't really help it.
Yeah, it's like I go straight back, you know, because like I commentate the UFC. When I was on The Ultimate Fighter, they used to subtitle me. You know what I mean? So I have to change things. Right. And thank you for the question, Nina. And keep them coming. Yeah. Tom, bless him, you know. I was there and I knew he was coming out and I was so proud of him. And I know what a journey he's been on, certainly with the leg break and everything. We all know. So I just went up and just wanted to give him a hug and say congratulations. You know, seeing a friend achieve something like that's incredible. So I just gave him a big hug and I just said, I'm so proud of you, Tom. You know, and I think that was it. That broke the seal. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And
sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah. I don't think it was anything to do with me. I think it was probably coming. It was on its way. And then just, you know, something like that. You know, I mean, he's got his father there and all the rest of it. So, yeah. When's the last time you cried, Anthony? We mentioned that before.
Oh, yeah. Let me think here. Probably in Singapore. Probably in Singapore. Maybe a quick cry and drive, you know, and like start getting my feelings about, you know, whatever. You know, I don't think it's a secret. I still struggle a little bit with the stuff with my mom. So sometimes I'll be driving, I'll hear a song or I'll see something or whatever. So every once in a while that happens. But definitely in Singapore is just kind of a heavy moment in Singapore for me.
Yeah. Well, and that's natural. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. Yeah,
I don't give a shit if anyone has a problem with it.
My mom's getting on and my dad's getting on. And I'm like, fucking hell, it scares me to death. It really does. Anyway, I mentioned before, I had shed a little tear yesterday as well. I went to the doctor and had a little procedure on my neck. It was just a test. I've got to get an ablation like I did on my back. So they did it to my neck because the back worked for a little bit, but it wore off pretty quick. But he said the neck has a 95% success rate and it lasts for 5 years.
Hell
and I am in constant pain with my neck and I have constant headaches. And so for the insurance to pay for it, to do it properly, they have to do two tests. So I went yesterday. And it just brought back all these feelings and memories. I've had so many fucking surgeries with my eye and everything. I don't know, I brought all that stuff back. But then they did it. And then when they did the imaging, the guy was like, holy shit. He said, your fucking neck is mangled, Mike. He said, you've got like really heavy onset arthritis. He said, I'm going to go in and do it a couple more times if you don't mind. I said, yeah, sure. I'm here. Do it. So he did it. And I got up and I was a little woozy. And he's like, no, you're going to be dizzy. Take your time. And he sat me down. And literally within 3 minutes, I had no pain in my neck.
No
pain in my neck. And I'd forgotten what that felt like. I'd forgotten what the pain, like just not having searing, constant, pretty much 10 out of 10 pain in my neck felt like. And I just like the relief. And I wasn't crying, but my tears welled up and the nurse came over and I'm like, shit, give me a tissue. I'm like, I'm sorry. She said, no, don't be silly. And she said, you forgot what it was like to not be in pain. I'm like, I had. Do you know what I mean? Fuck. And I was like, whoa, get your shit together, bitch. Leave me alone. Shut up, dickhead.
Oh, you know what? I almost cried yesterday. I got a little dusty in my car. That dog we were fostering, we went through the interview process. It's a long process trying to find someone. And we found this family and the dad flew all the way from Pennsylvania yesterday to come get the dog. We met, did the whole adoption process, and then he was flying right back. And so instead of him getting an Uber and us just leaving, we just took him. Me and my whole family took him to the airport, and I was kind of nervous. Like, I don't want this dog to be sad. Like, it's going to miss us and miss the other dogs. And like, he ran right up to him, jumped all over him the whole time. Like, I don't know, connected with him right away. And then like, as we were pulling off, they're just both like prancing together into the airport. And I was like, this is fucking a fairy tale ending for this poor little dog. Like, going on to this happy life. And I was like welling up a little bit, like just super happy for them.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. Yeah,
it's cool.
Brian, what else we got?
All right. We got another question here from Jeremy.
Hey, BYM. I'm hungover and I'm listening to the podcast right now. And
get the water, boy.
Talked about being scared every time he goes into a fight. And I've heard a lot of fighters come out and talk about the nerves and the fear that they have before a fight. And I'm just wondering, what is it with like Justin Gaethje or like a Robbie Lawler, where they look like they're fucking can't wait for the fight to start? Like, they're about to ride a fucking roller coaster and they've been waiting in line. Are they psychos, or do they still have that fear and anxiety and that's their coping mechanism? Or are there real life savages like a Justin Gaethje that couldn't imagine doing anything else in the world but get into a fight in front of the world? Appreciate you guys. I love all the content. Fuck you, Harrington.
What's your thoughts on that? Because I think we all have fears and anxiety going into a fight. But he brings up a couple of good examples there. Robbie Lawler, definitely stone-faced.
And afraid.
Justin Gaethje. I feel like the dude is like... I don't even
know. I asked Robbie one time.
And what'd he say?
He said he's terrified.
Right.
You know who else that I used to always, that I finally got to ask how they felt before they fought, that I always thought was like, God, he's different than we are. Matt Brown.
Mm.
Matt Brown told me the day that I'm not afraid anymore is the day that I'll quit fighting.
Like, I don't think it's the fear of the fight.
No,
it's the fear of failure. Yeah. That's what it is. That's why everyone's scared. Like Tom was scared. And of course, granted, you know, this isn't going to be pleasant. It might be, but there's a good chance that you're going to have to get down, you bite down on your mouthpiece, and you might get the shit kicked out of you, even if you win. Do you know what I mean? Like when I fought Anderson Silva, I won the fight, but I had 30 stitches in my face. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
it wasn't going the funnest thing you'd ever done.
There's better things to do. In fact, it was great. I fucking love that. And I would love to relive that moment. So I think everyone does in some ways, but do you know, I don't want to bring it up, but I have to. You know, the one time that I watched a fighter walk out and I just thought, look at this guy. He is genuinely not afraid at all.
Who?
When Conor McGregor fought Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
Walked out and he was like, he didn't give a shit. He was so confident. And I just remember him walking out and smiling and all the rest of it and like chatting to everyone and just like he looked like he was going to take his dog for a walk at the park. Mm-hmm. Or he was waiting for his mom to come down that he hasn't seen for a while. He just looked so calm and loose in that moment. And I did. And like, you know, I've had a contentious relationship with Conor, but I've got to give him his props there. And then look at what he did. Mm-hmm. Look at the performance that he had. Do you know what I mean? If you can control that, and I'm sure there was that there. I'm sure there was some kind of internal anguish of some sort.
What?
But he was able to control.
Some that are more than others, right? Like, there's some where I'm insanely nervous before. And when I was younger, I didn't really get that nervous because I wasn't smart enough to know what I was getting into anyways.
Same.
But as I got older and now I'm, you know, probably from 5 years ago, the nerves really picked up because it means more now. it's more important now, and the consequences are larger. Before I didn't
the bills.
Know. Yeah, before I didn't the know children. Enough. Yeah, before I didn't know what I was getting. I didn't know enough to. I didn't know what I didn't know. So,
well, it's not just that. Sorry to interrupt, but also ahead. At your age, with the wife, with the four kids,
mm-hmm.
this has become is who closer. You are.
Yeah.
No, but this has become who you are. So now you have to make it work. When you're younger, when you're in your early 20s and you start doing this, if it doesn't work out, fuck it, I'll go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've got to make this work.
Yeah.
Because I'm this committed is the now. Path. You've fucking gone down that path. You're balls deep. You're all in.
Right. So that because if you turn around and look behind you, there's no going back and going down a different road.
Yeah.
Like this is the one we're on.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a good way. No, that's a great way of putting it. But I have had fights where I'm more or less nervous. Like the Devin Clark fight, I wasn't too nervous. And that had nothing to do with Devin. I was just, that's where I was in life. Mm. The first Ryan Spann fight, not nervous at all. The second one, crazy nervous, like stressing a little bit.
Which I get.
You know, like the Johnny Walker fight was somewhere in the middle. Like some of them are bigger than others, but it's always there at least a little bit. Even for Robbie Lawler and even for Justin Gaethje.
Unless you're Robbie Lawler sitting on a bus in New York City and a bunch of pro-Palestinians are smashing the windows and they just want to smash everyone up and Rob's just save y'all energy. We got a lot of fighting to do right now. He's a badass, man. He's a badass. And you guys are all badasses. If you're still watching the show to the end of the episode, I thank you. Monday, I guarantee a lot of people switch off quick. I could not string a coherent sentence together. I was so tired. I was so shot. I just wanted to get it done and out of the way and just fucking forget about life. And I had shit on Thursday, Tuesday as well. So, guys, thank you for making the show what it is. Anthony, thank you. Brian and Harrington, wouldn't be the same without you guys. We'll be back on Monday. Going to try and get Paul Craig and a couple of guests. I'm going to get a Mark Goddard's case and say, come on.
Yeah, let's get Goddard.
Let's get Goddard. Guys, have a good weekend. See you soon.